You're listening to Second Half Sports, the leading sports podcast show, where raw opinions, hot takes, and bold predictions are a staple. Brought to you from the Rose City of Portland, Oregon. Now, here are your hosts, Cameron Sissel and Nubar Akparian, in 3, 2, 1.
May as well go on, as I did on my own, alone again, naturally.
Well, you heard it there. Alone again, except I wouldn't say again because I haven't done a solo episode in a while. It's been Nubar doing those. So alone again, maybe in terms of the podcast just being, you know, solo, alone, quote unquote. Here we go. Episode 65. As you could tell by that run-on sentence right there, I am going solo today. Nubar has some other endeavors that he had to tend to and couldn't pull away from. So we're riding solo dolo today. We got a lot to cover. It's going to be a little bit faster moving of an episode because we don't have the, you know, the classic banter, Nubar and I back and forth. So we're going to cover everything. Don't you worry. Don't turn it off quite yet. Give me a chance to woo you. You know, catching right up outside of sports world. What have I been up to and Nubar been up to as well? This past weekend, one of our best buddies, Jonah, and one of our other best friends, Alyssa, got married. So congratulations to them. It was a beautiful, beautiful weekend and day, and just, you know, wonderful to be around them and their families and, you know, be together as a group. So that was awesome. A lot of fun. Got to spend a lot of time with them, Nubar, Eric, you know, great time. Anything else off the top of my head? Been starting back up into running. First couple runs since the Chicago Half Marathon have gone pretty well, actually. My legs feel great. The weather's been tremendous, which is very unorthodox for October, I feel like. So it's just, you know, I'm just trying to soak it up while I can until it starts dumping rain, and then I'm running in that. So but yeah, I think the next race I'm going to do is the Vegas Half Marathon. And then I've kind of set my sights on next year being the marathon year of trying to run one of those. So we'll see how that goes. Nubar and I were talking about a little bit about that this weekend or this past weekend. We'll talk about that next episode for sure together. Besides that, it's been a long, long week off of not week off in episode terms, but in terms of since the last episode, there's been a lot that has happened in the sports world, whether it's MLB playoffs or NBA offseason, you know, the NFL again, another week in the books. So I feel like, honestly, I'm going to stop talking about me, personally, and we're going to get right into sports. So I got Johnny Boy with me, even though Nubar's not here. So it's not completely 100% solo, but Johnny Boy, why don't you kick me off into the first segment here?
MLB news.
Okay, MLB, the postseason is currently going on. I mean, you know, we have to talk about the Mariners first and foremost. They swept the Toronto Blue Jays this past weekend. It was a tremendous wild card round in general, but obviously my eyes were locked onto the Mariners. Game one, we won 4-0. And then on Saturday, we played them again. We won 10-9, and we were down like 9-1, 8-1. And then I stopped following it, to be honest, and then saw that we were tied 9-9, and we ended up winning to sweep the series. So that was incredible. So yesterday in the ALDS, we started our series, best of five series against the Houston Astros in Houston. We were up for most of the game. We were up for the whole game, actually, up until the end frame. I believe we were up, let's see, we were up 6. We were up 6-2 at one point, and then it was 6-3. So we were up 6-3. We were up 7-3, actually, and then they made it 7-5 in the eighth. before winning it in the bottom of the ninth off of a Yordan Alvarez three-run home run walk-off style. That sucked. I'll tell you what, it felt like a punch to the face. I had just gotten out of a meeting, and I turned on the live stream on my phone to watch the final three outs, thinking, oh, we have it in the bag, you know, 7-5. And just like that, boom, boom, they get two runners on, and Yordan Alvarez is coming up to the plate, and I just have the worst feeling in my stomach. And we bring in our starting pitcher, Robbie Ray, to close out, which is usually, you know, you feel really good about that. Through his first pitch, Yordan swings at it, hits a foul ball, but it looked like he made really good contact with it. And I was like, oh, man. And I, you know, I thought to myself, there's no way Robbie Ray can throw another pitch like that to let him hit that well of a pitch. Lo and behold, I was wrong. Throws a pitch right down the middle, and Yordan just cranks it to right field to win the game for the Astros. So we are down 1-0 on that series. The next game being tomorrow, Thursday, the 13th, in Houston as well with a 12:37 first pitch. There's been some other, you know, series going on as well. There's been some disappointment. There's been some performances that, you know, people have been astonished by as well. The Cleveland Guardians, they swept the Tampa Bay Rays as well in the AL, the other AL wild card matchup. So they are playing the Yankees. The Yankees lead that series 1-0 as well. On the other side of the bracket, the Phillies swept the Cardinals in the NL wild card. So they are playing the Braves, and they actually have the lead on the 2-seed Braves. Phillies are a 6-seed. They have the lead 1-0 in that series. And then the Padres actually beat the Mets in the other NL wildcard series 2-1. Huge disappointment for the Mets. Like I said in the last episode with Nubar, the Mets had the 2-seed locked up, so they could be playing the Phillies right now and could have had some time off. Instead, they just lost their momentum in the end of the season. They fall down into the wild card, lose to San Diego in the wild card, so their season is done. San Diego moves on to play the Dodgers. They are down 1-0 in that series as they lost last night as well. So it should be interesting. I think, you know, I think the Yankees are riding a lot of momentum right now with Aaron Judge's historic home run, you know, kind of pandemonium that was going on there in the last few weeks of the regular season. You know, I'm hoping and praying to God that the Mariners can get over that game one heartbreaker. You know, I think a lot of fans, a lot of, you know, my tight-knit Mariner fan group, friends are saying, you know, this is a series killer, that game one, because, you know, it's just a heartbreaker and then you just lose all hope. I think it's easy to do that, but hopefully, you know, Scott Service, hopefully, you know, our young players, hopefully our veterans can all rally around, you know, still the momentum that we're riding and the great season we had and you know, try to at least split that series in Houston and bring it back to Seattle. First game in Seattle on Saturday at 1 o'clock as well. So that's pretty much it for the MLB playoff update. You know, we'll be bringing you another update next week. It's kind of hard because we do weekly episodes. So, you know, it's tough because a lot of games go on. But as these series progress, you know, the wild card was a best of three. This the NL and ALDS is a best of five. And then, you know, so it gives us a little bit more time spread out. So there won't be as many teams advancing within a week. So hopefully we can, you know, give you a better picture and a slower progression through these playoffs brackets next week's episode as well. That's it for MLB. Like I said, we're not going to touch on a whole lot NBA. We're going to let that build up and touch on that in episode 66 next week. So for now, Johnny Boy, why don't you bring it in and we'll hit on the biggest segment that we got right here.
NFL News.
Okay, here we go. NFL, this last week, week five, was a bit of a doozy. There was a lot of interesting games. There was a lot of games that just were kind of wonky. There was a lot of games that sucked. You know, I'm kind of explaining, kind of just rumbling on because that's pretty much every week. But, we'll just start with Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football, Colts, Broncos. This game sucked. Okay. I was in Seattle for a conference, and I was out where there were TVs at a restaurant, and I stopped. I just couldn't watch this game. I mean, Matt Ryan sucks, and he looks like dust. The dude's like 59 years old. I mean, I don't know how he's still in the NFL. It just looks painful. Like, I just feel bad for the guy at this point. Their offense just looked really slow. Jonathan Taylor didn't play in this game. Nyheim Hines, the backup, gets a concussion in the first quarter and gets knocked out of the game. So just not much momentum out of the gates there. Russell Wilson looked awful in this game as well. He just doesn't look comfortable in this system. I don't know what's going to fix it, and I don't know what's, you know, happening in Denver that's making that such a hard collaboration and gel, if you will. But Russell Wilson, 274 yards. He had two picks. He has 16 QBR. I mean, he looked awful. As we all know, Javonte Williams, week four, tore his ACL. So Melvin Gordon, had 15 rushes for 54 yards. And then Mike Boone is kind of the change of pace back in Denver now. Seven rushes for 38 yards and added three catches for 47. So, just interesting. Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, they both, had okay gains. Five catches for 74, three catches for 53. No touchdowns for either one of them. There were no touchdowns in this game. And I think I saw a stat. This was like the first game in a while where it was like, no touchdowns and three plus sacks for both quarterbacks, and like two plus interceptions, at least three sacks for both quarterbacks, and at least two picks for both quarterbacks. That was there was this time and one other time ever that's ever happened. Astonishing. These stats are just, it was such a boring game. If you like defense and you like just tumultuous offense, as your source of entertainment, then this was the game for you. But most people who are, logical people that watch it, the NFL, did not like this game. We're going to move on from that one. We're going to go into the Seahawks game. Seahawks lose this game ultimately to the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans, 39-32. I'm not as worried about this. I'm more worried that we lost Rashad Penny out for the season. I believe he broke his fibula and then he fractured or he broke his fibula and then he did something to his tibia. He didn't break both, but he is out for the season. So we lose him. Kenneth Walker going forward is our RB1. So he had 88 yards for a touchdown. Just sad to see Rashad Penny. Like, Rashad Penny, has worked so hard to get this RB1 spot secured with Chris Carson retiring. This was his year to prove himself as an RB1 and get, a lot of the workload. And now, week five, he is knocked out for the season. I know he'll come back just as strong. I know he'll come back next year and try to build on what he had started this year, but tough nonetheless. Tyler Lockett has a great game for us, 104 yards, two touchdowns. DK Metcalf adds 88 yards and a touchdown. Geno Smith looks great, man. Like, it's tough because our defense is so bad. Our defense just gives up pretty much anything. I mean, Taysom Hill had four total touchdowns. He had one passing, and then he had three rushing. He had 112 rushing yards. Kamara added 103 rushing yards. So, like, we gave up 235 total rushing yards. Also, Melvin Ingram and Mark Ingram and Andy Dalton adding on the last few scrap yards there. But our defense just gives up. You can't give up 235 rushing yards when you're also giving up 209 receiving yards. It's just way too much. It's way too much. And I don't know what's going to fix it. I don't know if it's, a culture thing or if it's a personnel thing. But, our offense puts up 32 points and we give up 39. It's plain and simple to see what the problem was there. So, I kind of hinted at it, Geno Smith looks great, 268 yards, three touchdowns. That's the bright spot of the season so far, I think, is how Geno's performing and how, our offense is at least rallying and rallying around him. So moving on from that, the Seahawks and Saints, both 2-3 going forward into week 6. Next up, New York Giants and the Packers. This was an interesting outcome. They played in London, so it was an early game. I didn't see any of the game. I woke up and the game was already over. But the New York Giants win 27-22 against the Packers. So this is an impressive win. You know, a lot of people were questioning, like, are the Giants legit? Are these wins legit? Can they beat a team like the Packers? Can they beat a team like the, you know, the Bills, the, you know, 49ers, you know, those kind of those, you know, run through the gauntlet teams. So this was their first real test, and they, you know, they come out of London with a dub. This was a very interesting game. I think the Packers had control of this game. They did. They were up 20-10 going into half. They were up 20-13 going into the fourth, and then the Giants scored two touchdowns in the fourth. And the Packers got a safety in the fourth as well to make it that 22. So, Daniel Jones, you know, I think for the Giants, there's going to come a point in time where Daniel Jones is going to have to show out, and he's going to have to be a little bit more of a performer, and put up some stats to win them some games. But for now, 217 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. That's fine. When you have Saquon Barkley, arguably the best running back in the NFL right now this year, rushing for 70 yards and a touchdown, and then he's got, you know, three catches for 40 yards. He's a great asset, and you don't need to be an all-star or a Pro Bowl quarterback when you have a running back like him, and you can do the small things enough, and your defense is playing well enough to win you these games. So, they had three rushing touchdowns, and that was all they needed, and their defense played well. Aaron Rodgers had 222 yards, two touchdowns. Aaron Jones had 63 rushing yards to A.J. Dillon's 34. And then you had Alan Lazard, 35 yards and a touchdown, and Mercedes Lewis, a receiving touchdown. So Alan Lazard, you know, if you're a Green Bay fan, you like Alan Lazard, you know, kind of coming out party, if you will, the last couple weeks. He's starting to show that potential as a wide receiver one, but still, if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, you do kind of have a worry. You are 3-2, but you lose to the Giants. Whether it's an international game or not, you know, it's not a good loss to take in the eyes of those fans. So should be interesting to see how Aaron Rodgers can rally those receivers and try to turn it around, you know, like he did last year after that brutal loss to the Saints in week one. They turned it around, and I think they finished like 13-3 or something like that. So should be interesting to see how he continues to rally those troops in that aspect. This next game, we're not going to touch on that much because it was a bloodbath. And Jonah, this is Jonah Allen. If you're listening to this episode, this is where you cover your ears, possibly, or you listen and you hate me forever. Bills play the Steelers. Bills absolutely demolish the Steelers, 38-3. This game was not close. I watched most of this game. It was over. I thought it was over before it even started. The personnel that, listen, all due respect to Mike Tomlin, the Steelers organization, the Bills just had better personnel. They have better players, and they are a better team. And so, you know, whether it was played in Pittsburgh or Buffalo or wherever, this game was not going to be close. The Bills and Josh Allen looked insane. Josh Allen had 42 rushing yards, but he had 424 passing yards and four passing touchdowns. Gabe Davis went off for 171 receiving yards, two receiving touchdowns. Stephon Diggs had 102 receiving yards, one touchdown. They just looked nasty. Kenny Pickett, you know, modest game, minus the pick. He had, 327 passing yards. He threw the ball 52 times, though. That's the thing I take away from that is he had all those passing yards, but he threw the ball 52 times because they were playing from behind, you know, from the snap, the first snap. So, one thing that I'm curious of on the Steelers end as well is Najee Harris hasn't looked like himself pretty much all year. You know, I'm a fantasy owner of Najee Harris in one of my four leagues. Very underwhelming season so far for him. I know it has a lot to do with the quarterback play. I know it has a lot to do with, you know, game flow and what they're seeing in personnel, because they're playing a rookie quarterback now as well. So I know it's tough. I am interested to see how they, you know, try to incorporate him a little bit more. I don't think they have any other running backs that are going to start taking time away from him. They're not going to, you know, say, oh, he can't get the job done and give, you know, give rushes to somebody else, or like, you know, like Jaylen Warren or something like that. They're not going to do that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they incorporate him into their scheme more going forward. You know, if you're the receivers, or you own the receivers on the Steelers, you know, Pickens, Deontay Johnson, and Claypool all caught for 50 plus yards in this game, and they all cut 5 plus catches. So that's a huge plus. You know, if you're an owner or if you're a fan, your receivers are there. You guys have the weapons. I think it's just going to take some time to mesh. I think it's going to take this whole season to figure out, you know, the route going forward for you guys. But all in all, Buffalo comes away from this game going, setting their record up at 4-1. Steelers fall to 1-4. Next game up, Chargers Browns. This one was an interesting one to me. I thought the Chargers would run away with this one pretty convincingly. The big takeaway from this game, I'm not going to talk about it much more other than this. At the end of the game, the Chargers decided to, their head coach, Brandon Staley, decided to trust his gut and analytics and his offense, and decided to go for it on 4th-and-2 on like the 25-yard line or something like that, on their own 25-yard line. So if they didn't get it, the Browns then were immediately like in field goal range. I don't think it was 25. I think it was like 30 or 35. They didn't get it. Okay. They ended up not getting the fourth down. They tried to throw a slant to Mike Williams. It was batted down. Great defense. And the Browns took the ball and they missed a field goal for the win. Ultimately, if the Browns would have made this field goal and won, Brandon Staley would be under so much scrutiny and fire, and this would go down as one of the worst, you know, decisions, whether it was backed by analytics and, you know, whatever the decision was. This would have been known as one of the worst decisions all season so far. I think he got extremely lucky. I think if you punt that ball, you know, I think there was like 20 seconds left or something like that. You punt that ball, there's no way that Jacoby Brissett gets them down, I think, in my eyes. And something could have happened. Maybe there's a miracle and they do get down in field goal range anyway. But I don't think that they would have come close to field goal range within those 20 seconds. So I couldn't believe it when I saw it live. I think they snuck out of Cleveland with this win. But I think it's a great win. And the great teams, you know, for the most part, every year we see it, the great teams sneak out wins. And this was one that they snuck out, but they probably shouldn't have. So Austin Eckler, another great game. Like I said, I'm not going to talk about this one too much, but Austin Eckler, 173 rushing yards, 1 rushing touchdown, also a receiving touchdown. Justin Herbert has a good game. Nick Chubb has a great game, 134 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Amari Cooper, 7 catches, 76 yards and a touchdown. Jacoby Brissett did have an interception. But yeah, all in all, Chargers snuck out of here with a win that they probably shouldn't have had. But it is what it is. Next game up, Vikings-Bears. This was another like just weird game. Like the Bears were close and making it close, and it probably shouldn't have been that close, but it was. So yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean, I didn't watch a ton of this game. Justin Fields, you know, 208 passing yards and a touchdown. I know that I've continued to kind of speak his downfall, but I've continued to speak on how I just don't think that he's the right move for this organization. I don't think he's showed enough progression, but I also think that the organization hasn't put enough pieces in front of him to make him successful. I don't think that, you know, I don't think that Darnell Mooney is the answer. He only had 2 catches for 52 yards. I think David Montgomery is a great back. He had a rushing touchdown and he had 62 receiving yards. But I think Justin Fields is having to do too much, and I think that falls on the organization for not putting weapons in place for him. But I also think that he makes a lot of terrible decisions. So on the other end, the Vikings looked great. Kirk Cousins, 296 passing yards and a touchdown and a pick. Dalvin Cook, resurgence, 94 rushing yards, two touchdowns. Justin Jefferson went off, 12 catches, 154 yards. 12 catches on 13 targets. Let's not forget to mention that. The dude is him. He is him. He is Himothy. Yeah, so moving on, we're going to go this one. This game was like, I literally have in the script underneath this game, I have all caps, what? Because the Patriots and Lions game, okay? The Patriots won this game 29-0. What? How? How? I mean, I can tell you how, but like, how do the Lions score 0 points? And they're playing a third string quarterback in the Patriots. I don't quite understand what happened here. Bailey Zapp, for those of you who don't know who Bailey Zapp is, he's a quarterback for the Patriots, third string, undrafted from Western Kentucky, is starting now because Brian Hoyer's out and Mac Jones, as we all know, is out as well. Was forced to start this game in New England against the Lions. He threw for 188 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. But Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Harris gets hurt in this game, hamstring injury. He's going to be out the next couple weeks. Ramondre Stevenson, 25 rushing attempts for 161 yards. So he goes off, okay? And then on top of that, the defense goes off. Well, Jacoby Myers had 111 yards for a touchdown, but the defense also goes off, okay? So they go off. What did they? I think they had a pick six. Yeah, they did have a pick six, and they also recovered a couple fumbles. So the Lions just – they lost themselves this game. Jamal Williams goes for 56 rushing yards. Reynolds goes for 92 receiving yards. Jared Goff throws that pick, doesn't throw a touchdown. It's just an ugly game. Like, they just – their offense looked bad. Amon-Ra St. Brown tried to play. He's definitely not 100%. DeAndre Swift misses another game. The Lions are just in this bad pattern now continuously of injuries and making themselves, making themselves lose games. Like, they aren't being outplayed in most of these games. They just don't show up, or they lose these games with dumb mistakes. And this was another game where they kind of did both. They didn't show up and they made mistakes, fumbles and interception. So, that's going to have to be something in the DNA. I don't think this year is going to be their year like Nubar wants it to be. But I think if they want this to be in their DNA to win and be a flawless team and be a contender, this is where it starts. You scored 0 points against the Patriots. So, continuing on, we had the New York Jets taking on the Dolphins without Tua. Teddy Bridgewater knocked out of this game pretty early on, and the Jets win this game 40-17. You had another no name quarterback come into this game for the Dolphins, Skylar Thompson from K-State, come into this game. He threw 166 yards and a pick. Raheem Mostert has 113 rushing yards and a touchdown. And then all their receivers were pretty down on that day because of the quarterback experience level for the most part. And then on the other end, Zach Wilson, 210 passing yards, no touchdowns, no picks. But Zach Wilson does rush for a touchdown. Braxton Berrios rushes for a touchdown. Michael Carter rushes for two touchdowns. And then Breece Hall. Okay, this is Breece Hall's going off game. This is his coming out party, essentially, in my eyes. From watching this game, seeing his fantasy stats, how they've escalated, this is his game where he says, okay, Michael Carter, thank you for showing me, how to play running back. Thank you for holding the reins for me. But now this is my show. Okay, so Michael Carter drops to 10 carries. Breece Hall gets 18, rushes for 100 yards and a touchdown, also adds 100 receiving yards. So the man has 200 total yards and a touchdown. The running back position is his, and he's a top, seven running back for the rest of the year. So go get him, go trade for him, and if you have him, don't let him go for the rest of the year. So moving on, You have actually not moving on yet. Not to mention the Jets are now 3-2. You know, good on them winning this game, a game they should win with no Tua. And you know, Teddy B gets knocked out. Who's to say what it would have looked like if he was still in the game? But you know, good for them winning this game, winning games that they should win, and scoring and putting up 40 points. You know, making it look like, hey, we should win this game, and we did. So yeah, they go away 3-2. Miami also drops to 3-2 as well. Next game up, Tampa Bay Buccaneers win 21-15 against the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons honestly could have won this game. I think the biggest story, the only thing I'm going to talk about, is the roughing the passer call on Tom Brady towards the end of the game. This was a terrible, 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 terrible call. I think it was defensive lineman Grady Jarrett from the Falcons that tackled Brady in the pocket and barely, like, tackled him and spun like you're supposed to do according to the rule, and just like barely threw him down, and they threw a roughing the passer flag, which kept the drive going and, you know, allowed them to run out the clock, where the Falcons would have gotten the ball back and been able to possibly score to win the game. So this has garnered a lot of backlash throughout the week so far. You know, people calling for the NFL to change these rules, people calling for the NFL to have a standardized, you know, policy for referees to call or not call these roughing the passers, because it is getting out of hand. You know, as an NFL fan, you know, I hate to see a game decided by a flag. I'd rather see it decided by play. And on a play like this, where you see Tom Brady sacked, yes, the man's like 79 years old. So you do have to, you know, warrant his safety. But this was not a flaggable, if that's even a word, play. You hate to see it. You hate to see all the players affected by this, because the Falcons could have gotten the ball back and, like I said, gone down and possibly won that game. So you hate to see things like that as well. But I guess we'll have to see where the NFL and where Roger Goodell takes this decision and takes that rule change going forward. Next up, we have the Titans going against the Commanders. Newbar and I both took the Titans in this game, and we both were correct. They win 21-17. I think the story of this game was that the Commanders were down on the goal line to win the game, and Carson Wentz throws a pick. Carson Wentz continues a tumultuous, and I know tumultuous has kind of been I keep using that word, but I kind of like it today. He continues his tumultuous habit of throwing picks on the goal line in important key plays of games. So he throws for 360 yards, though, two touchdowns and a pick. Brian Robinson is their leading rusher, but that means nothing because he only rushed for 22 yards. Ryan Tannehill, these are just two boring teams. Like we said this going in, 181 yards and a touchdown. Derrick Henry has 102 yards and two touchdowns, so he goes off. Titans go away from this game 3-2, and the Commanders go away from it 1-4. I think a story that I'm going to bring up, actually, that I just remembered, is Ron Rivera this week, after the Commanders lost, was asked what he thinks the difference is between them and the other three teams in their division. And he straight up said quarterback. Straight up says quarterback. Like, that's it. And then he said, yeah, I think our quarterback isn't playing well. I think other quarterbacks are playing better than our quarterback, and, you know, something needs to change. And there was backlash, obviously. I think he's not wrong. I think the quarterback play is, you know, hasn't been great by Carson Wentz. But for you as a head coach, you know, he was the man who chose Carson Wentz to come and play for them. He chose him to be the starting quarterback. As a head coach, you can't say those types of things. I don't think you can, confidence-wise, and, you know, there's a time and place. I know you're trying to, you know, get him motivated and get Carson to, like, you know, fuel to the fire, I guess. But you can't do it at that point in an interview to say that type of – I don't think that's right, and I don't think it's fair. I think it's fair to say that he isn't playing well. but I also think you have to take some of the blame. I think the coaching staff needs to take some of the blame. I think other parts of the offense, I think the defense, you know, there's blame for everybody. And so, you know, I think if, you know, Carson Wentz held something against Ron Rivera for that, or, you know, there were some comments made or some, you know, conversations had, I think that was very fair of Carson Wentz to feel pretty disrespected, because that's what I took away from it. So moving on, we had the Texans play the Jags. This was a snooze fest of a game, 13-6. Texans win this game 13-6. The Jags offense was non-existent. I'm not even going to read off any of the stats. Non-existent. I don't know what happened, because they looked decent in the first handful of weeks. And then this game, they lose to the winless Texans. So I don't know. I'm not even going to touch on it. I'm going to let them have this week as like a we forgot to play football week, and then we're going to see what happens next week. 49ers, Panthers. 49ers win this game pretty convincingly, 37-15. Panthers looked awful. Here's a couple takeaways. Baker Mayfield gets hurt, high ankle sprain. He's out a couple weeks, so it's Sam Darnold coming back in for, you know, second stint, if you want to call it, to try to show what he can do in that system. Matt Rhule, head coach, fired after this game for, you know, losing this game, and he has a terrible record as the head coach now. So I think they're one of their assistant coaches. I don't know the name off the top of my head, but who cares? It's the Panthers. Takes over as interim head coach. So we'll see where that goes. Another huge takeaway is Christian McCaffrey is now being his name's being thrown out there as a trade, highlight or a trade. What do you want to call it? Key figure of people. I don't even know what to say. This is where Neubauer would correct me right there, where I can't figure out the terminology. He's a huge free agent on the trade market right now, but he's not even a free agent. I'm going to go ahead and skip past what I'm trying to say because I can't think of it right now. How about that? So yeah, that game was terrible. 49ers win 37-15. Going forward, Cowboys 22, Rams 10 in LA. I think the biggest takeaway is, like, if I told you Cowboys 22, Rams 10, you'd be like, oh, okay, it was probably in Dallas. No, this was in LA. So the former, you know, Super Bowl, reigning Super Bowl champions, pretty much the same team. They lose a little bit on the offensive line, and then they lose Odell. Cam Akers looks terrible. Daryl Henderson looks terrible. Allen Robinson looks terrible. Matthew Stafford looks terrible. Their defense doesn't look as solid as it was, even with Aaron Donald, even with Jalen Ramsey, even with Bobby Wagner. So, you know, a question that I would ask to the audience, that I would ask to Neubauer, and that I've thought about, are the Rams in panic mode? I have no idea. I can't honestly say that. Last year, I would say no. This year, I don't know how to answer that question. That's an interesting storyline that we're going to need to follow is do they make changes? Do they continue on the road that they're going down? I mean, they're 2-3 right now. The Cowboys are 4-1. But we'll have to see how that goes. So, and then on the Cowboys end, I mean, the Cowboys are looking good. Cooper Rush looks, you know, even when he's not having a pretty game performance wise, you know, he's leading this team. He only had 102 passing yards. You know, CeeDee Lamb had 53 receiving yards. That was it. There were no receiving touchdowns. Tony Pollard rushed for their only touchdown offensively. And then you had whatchamacall? Interception, pick six. So, you know, just an ugly, ugly, ugly game. Cooper Kupp goes for 125 receiving yards and a touchdown. Cam Akers, 13 rushes, 33 yards. Just not, I mean, Daryl Henderson doesn't even rush. So if you're a Rams fan, I'd be worried. I'd be worried. Next game up, this was a good game. Philadelphia Eagles took on the Cardinals in Arizona. So another huge test for the Eagles, undefeated, 4-0 going in. And they continue to impress. They win this game 20-17. They continue to win tough games. And then on the Cardinal side, do you start to worry, or was this just a tough break? For those of you who missed the game, The Cardinals could have won this game, and they were, you know, they could have tied it. Excuse me, it was 20-17, and they went for a field goal and missed it. And you know, I think it was cool to see after the game in the locker room, players, you know, went up behind the kicker and said, "Hey, you know, don't put it on him." Like, there's tons of things that we could have done to make this game better, or, you know, made it closer and or win the game. And so don't ask him questions about the kick, and don't make him feel like he did, you know, he lost us the game. That's not what happened. So that was cool. But if I'm a Cardinals fan, I'm not extremely worried. I mean, I'm 2-3. But you know, I think there's a lot of things to still be hopeful about. I know you get DeAndre Hopkins back here in a couple weeks. You guys play the Seahawks next week. So that, you know, I give you guys a better shot of winning that game than we do. Probably, you play the Saints the following week. So that's also a winnable game. And then you have the Vikings. That's a tough game, but then you play the Seahawks again. So, you know, there's some things that to be hopeful about. Still, you guys are playing tough. Kyler doesn't look terrible. I think the running game needs to get better. I don't think James Conner looks good at all. So they need to figure out something there. But, and then Philly wise, you know, Jalen Hurts didn't have to throw a touchdown. He had two rushing touchdowns. He had 239 passing yards, 61 rushing yards, two rushing touchdowns. They continue to find ways to win. I think each week it's a new guy that kind of shows out for them. And that's, you know, what it takes in this league. The teams that win and the teams that ultimately get into the playoffs and go deep in the playoffs are teams that just find ways to win. And it's a different hero every game. Whether it has to be Jalen Hurts rushing two touchdowns, or it's Miles Sanders rushing 100 yards and receiving 75 yards, and or it's A.J. Brown going off for 200 receiving yards, or both him and Devonta Smith going off for 100 yards, you know, who knows? So they look good. 5-0, that's all I'm going to say. Sunday Night Football, Ravens and Bengals. Ravens win this game 19-17. I guessed this incorrectly. I really thought the Bengals were going to, you know, continue to show – you know, why their slow start out of the gate was wrong, but they lose this game, but it's a close game. So I'm not super worried still, even if I'm a Bengals fan. But it, very interesting. It was just, it looked like a very interesting game. It had a slow pace to it. 19-17, even just looking at the score, you can tell Lamar goes only for 174 passing yards and a throwing touchdown. He also throws a pick. And then he was their leading rusher as well with 58. Rushing yards. Even if I didn't tell you who caught the touchdown that he passed, you could probably guess it was Mark Andrews and you would be correct. So congratulations to you. Joe Burrow goes for 217 passing yards, touchdown and pick as well. Joe Mixon goes for 78 rushing yards, and Joe Burrow rushes a touchdown, and the only receiving touchdown goes to Hayden Hurst. Jamar Chase, 7 catches for 50 yards. People are wondering if he's, you know, going to have a more realistic and like slower season this year. I don't think so. I think he's going to figure it out, and I think he'll still end up, you know, top 6 or 7 wide receiver. I would go get him if I'm you in your leagues. I think there's a lot of people that are kind of panicking and not willing to wait. So I should say, if you're a good team in your fantasy league and you have a, you know, the patience where you can maybe play him at a wide receiver 2 or a flex or something like that if your team's stacked, depending on what it looks like. But, you know, try to go trade him or for him. Just wait on him. I think he's going to come around. So, and then finally, Monday Night Football, we had Chiefs Raiders. This was a great game. You had the Chiefs winning this game 30-29 against their rival. You know, this was a very back and forth game. The Raiders were up 7-0 after the first quarter. They were up 20-10 after the second quarter. And then I think the Chiefs woke up. It was 24-20 Chiefs after the third. And then the final score was 30-29. It was definitely an offensive showing. Derek Carr had 241 yards, 2 passing touchdowns. Josh Jacobs, 154 rushing yards. 39 receiving yards and 1 rushing touchdown. Devontae Adams, 124 receiving yards on 3 catches and 2 touchdowns. So Darren Waller also goes down with an injury. Very notable injury. to note going into week six. Patrick Mahomes on the other end, 292 passing yards and four touchdowns. Jerick McKinnon being the leading rusher for this team, eight rushes for 53 yards. Marquez Valdes-Scantling was the leading receiver with 90 yards. But Travis Kelce had four receiving touchdowns. All of Patrick Mahomes' passing touchdowns went to Travis Kelce. He only had seven catches for 25 yards and four touchdowns. But his fantasy numbers were absurd. So I think the biggest things to take away from this game are the Chiefs are for real again this year because they just keep finding ways to win. Like, this was not an ugly game, but, like, in terms of, like, it was back and forth, no defense. Anyone could have won this game, and they find a way to win in the end, right? So, like I said earlier, they find ways to win. These teams that are going to go deep in the playoffs and they're going to find their ways in, you know, into games that they're losing, or they're going to find their way to win a game that, or hold on to a lead. I mean, that's how you do it. And that's how you build a culture and build camaraderie as well. So Chiefs find a way to win. Raiders fall to 1-4. The frustration was very prevalent after the game. Davante Adams walking off the field, shoved a camera worker on the sideline. And he has now filed a police report for aggravated assault, I think, against Davante Adams. So just not a good look for him, not a good look for the Raiders. And the Raiders, 1-4, made all these offseason moves, you know, everybody high on them. Not a good look overall that they are 1-4 and these problems are arising now. So with that, that was week five. Through week five, our picks last week, Nubar went 11 for 16 with his predictions, and I went 8-16. So here we go. We're tied up 44 for 64. We both are. So should be I bet Nubar a bag of candy that he couldn't take the lead from me. So it all comes down to this week. I have to either tie him or stay ahead. So I have all his picks written down. I have my picks ready to go as well. So here we go. All right, first up. So tomorrow night we have the Commanders taking on the Bears. This is a pick 'em. So I am going to take the Bears in this game. And Nubar is going to take the Commanders. I want to take the Commanders, but I don't think their offense is good enough. And I think that I think Chicago is going to have a good rushing day. It's also in Chicago, so I think that plays into it as well. But yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Next up, we have the Cardinals playing the Seahawks. The Cardinals are 3-point favorites. Nubar has the Seahawks. I'm going to take the Cardinals in this game. I know I said last week that I need to take the Seahawks, but I just think the Cardinals have to. This is almost a must-win game for the Cardinals if they want to win the playoff or get into the playoffs or get into the wild card at the end of the season. I think they have to win these must-win games. So I think this is one of them. So I'll go ahead and take the Cardinals and differ from Nubar. Next up, we have the 49ers playing the Falcons. 49ers are 5.5-point favorites. Nubar has the 49ers. I also have the 49ers. Give me Jimmy G. Next up, we have Cleveland taking on the New England Patriots, who just defeated the Detroit Lions. I have the Browns winning this game. Cleveland is a 2.5-point favorite. Nubar also has the Browns, so we agree on that one. Next up, I have the Green Bay Packers playing the New York Jets. Green Bay Packers are 7.5-point favorites on Fox, 10 a.m. on Sunday. I have the Green Bay Packers. Nubar also has the Green Bay Packers. Yes, he does. Sorry, I was rechecking just to make sure before I said it for sure. He does have it. We both have the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers getting a little bit of a redemption game from that London performance against the Giants. Next up, we have the Colts against the Jaguars. The Colts are 2-point favorites. Nubar has the Jaguars. I am going to also go with the Jaguars. I think Trevor Lawrence comes back and has a better performance than this last week. They only dropped 6 points against the winless Houston Texans. So I think they have to come out and do something a little bit different at least. And I don't think the Colts are a great team at all. So I'm going to take the Jaguars as well. Next up, we have the Vikings, 3.5-point favorites against the Miami Dolphins. I don't think Tua is playing again. So let's see. Nubar has, yep, I knew. I figured that he was going to take Skull Vikes, but I just wanted to double check, confirm the list. I'm also going to take Skull Vikes. Brett would be very proud of us. So we're both going Vikings in that game. Next up, we have the Bengals as 1.5-point favorites, almost a pick 'em, against the New Orleans Saints. I'm going to take the Bengals, and so is Nubar. So we haven't differed on many teams or many games here, but I am going to take the Bengals as well. Here's an interesting game. Okay. We have the New York Giants taking on the Baltimore Ravens. This is in MetLife in New York. Okay. I know what Nubar's going to do. Where is it? He's going to take the Ravens. I'm going to take the Giants. I know that this is insane. I know that, you know, people are saying, Cameron, you know, this is a dumb pick because you're trying to win that bag of candy. Listen, everybody, okay? I know that I easily could lose this pick. I know the Ravens could go in there and blow them out by 30. For some reason, I think everybody thinks that and everybody knows that. And I think the Giants are going to win this game. I think as a home game, I think this is a trap game for Baltimore for some reason. And I have the Giants winning this game. So I'm taking Danny Dimes. Next up, we have the Buccaneers as 8-point favorites against the Steelers. This isn't even a decision. I'm going Buccaneers, and so is Nubar. He's going Bucks. Next up, we have the Panthers, 1-4, playing the 2-3 Los Angeles Rams, who I just went on a rant about. 10-point favorites are the Rams, and this is in L.A. I'm going to go Rams, and so is Nubar. Getting down to the end of the day here. 125 slot, you have the Buffalo Bills playing the Kansas City Chiefs. Buffalo Bills are 2.5-point favorites. I am going to say the Bills win this game, and so is Nubar. I wish I could differ with him. I really do. Like, I want to take the Chiefs just because this is going to be such a phenomenal game, and, you know, like, why not differ on such a good game? The only reason is I just think Josh Allen and that Bills team just has such a, like, hatred for Arrowhead Stadium and for the Chiefs, just from what they've done to them over the past few years. And so I just don't think they can lose this game. So I am also taking the Bills. Sunday Night Football, you have the Cowboys playing the Eagles. I think this is going to be also a tremendous game. I think you have the Eagles as 6-point favorites. I'm going to take the Eagles to stay undefeated and win this game. So is Nubar. And yeah, those are two tremendous games. You know, I think that the afternoon slot is a great, great window this upcoming Sunday. And I think the Sunday Night Football game is just as good. The Monday Night Football game, last one. We have Broncos-Chargers, interdivision matchup. Chargers 4.5-point favorites. Nubar has the Chargers. I also have the Chargers. No Russell Wilson for Denver. Chargers, you know, I think are too good of a team to lose this game without Russell Wilson playing against them. So I think they prevail and win this game as well. I think Nubar and I only differed on like two picks there, but we'll, I guess, have to see if those are the tiebreakers that win or lose me a bag of candy. But yeah, that's pretty much it, everybody. I mean, episode 65, kind of quick, kind of not. What am I at for time here? 54 minutes. That's not bad. You know, I hope you guys enjoyed only hearing my soft, soothing voice. Next week, episode 66, we'll have Nubar's soothing voice as well, back to duet with mine. For those of you who follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, YouTube, thank you guys very much. Like, this, you know, has been a tremendous experience. And it's only going to continue. We love bringing you this weekly news and updates. So, we really do appreciate all your guys' support and feedback. Continue to subscribe, continue to leave us comments and suggestions. For those of you who don't know, we have an Instagram page. We post snippets of all of our episodes before they drop. You know, we post random polls and stuff like that as well. So go follow us on Instagram at Second Half Sports Pod. And just, you know, continue to stay in the now and listen to all our episodes every week. I know we have a handful of listeners that listen every week, and we really do thank you. Even if we had, you know, one or two people that listen to our podcast, we would still do it, because we just, you know, we love to bring you guys all these stories. And even if it's, you know, you're just like, oh, these are two guys talking about sports, just like every other sports podcast, you know, we like to think that we do it a little bit differently, and our personalities and jokes and everything brings a little bit of the, you know, refreshing spice that is needed to separate us even a little bit. So we appreciate you guys. I appreciate you. And yeah, as always, drive safe. Gotta
love it, baby. Thank you for listening to the Second Half Sports Podcast. Make sure to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts today. And check out at Second Half Sports Pod on Instagram for all your second half sports news and updates.